There's the school bell, and you're right. It is time for the Warren County Radio Bible School. And this is lesson number 101. Now, we only have 15 minutes per class, so get your Bible and pay attention, and you don't want to be late. If you have your Bible now, turn it to the book of Nehemiah, Nehemiah chapter 1. And you may want to go ahead and start reading verses 4 through 11, because at this time in our class periods, we've been looking at this beautiful prayer that Nehemiah prayed, and we're going to continue to do so in a few moments. So while I'm introducing this program, you may want to go ahead and read to yourself Nehemiah chapter 1, verses 4 through 11. And while you're doing so, I'll tell the listening radio audience that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond Mountain, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m., and all are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Our teacher is E.A. Elam, a preacher from long ago who taught Sunday school. And in doing so, he wrote down and printed Sunday school lessons for the churches to use in their Bible studies. And we're currently looking at a lesson that Elam wrote for the churches for the day of August the 27th, 1922. And in these lessons, we are far, far into the history of Israel and of Judah. And we're getting close to their closing days in the Old Testament. They had gone into Babylonian captivity, and they had returned unto Ezra and Nehemiah. And we're reading about things that occurred during their return. And among the things in this book of Nehemiah is this beautiful prayer that he prayed. We're going to be looking at Nehemiah chapter 1, and in verse 6, the text says, "Let thine ear now be attentive, and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hearken unto the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee at this time, day and night, for the children of Israel, thy servants, while I confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee. Yea, I and my father's house have sinned." Isn't that a beautiful, humble prayer? In Elam's notes on this prayer, he suggests some conditions of acceptable prayer. And I want to go over those and look at the text that he assigns to those. Elam says, Nehemiah besought God to hear the prayer which he offered day and night for the children of Israel. Certain conditions or elements are essential for acceptable prayer. And here they are. He starts with faith. And the text is Hebrews 11 and verse 6. Without faith, it is impossible to be well-pleasing unto him. But he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that seek after him. Another text on faith is James 1, 5 through 8. If any of you lacketh wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing doubting. For he that doubteth is like the surge of the sea, driven by the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So faith is a condition of acceptable prayer, but also reverence and awe. Hebrews 12 and verse 28 says, "Let us have grace, whereby we may offer service well-pleasing to God with reverence and awe." Another condition of acceptable prayer is humility. Jesus spoke of this in a parable in Luke 18, verses 9 through 14. And he spake also this parable unto certain who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and set all others at naught. Two men went up to the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as the rest of men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I get. But the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote his breast, saying, God, be thou merciful to me, a sinner. I say unto you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For every one that exalteth himself shall be humbled, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. So faith, a condition of acceptable prayer, and reverence, and awe, and humility, but also repentance. Acts 8 in verse 22 says, Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray to the Lord, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. Along with repentance is the confession of sins. We heard Nehemiah do that in his prayer. James 5 in verse 16 says, Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray the Lord, if perhaps the thought of thine heart shall be forgiven thee. In 1 John 1, verses 8 through 9, we read, If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we've got faith, reverence and awe, humility, repentance, confession of sins. And there's something else, submission to God. 1 John 3 and verse 22, Whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do the things that are pleasing in His sight. In 1 John 5 and verse 15, This is the boldness which we have toward Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. Solomon prayed in a manner likened to this in 2 Chronicles chapter 6 and verse 40 at the dedication of the temple. Solomon prayed, O my God, let, I beseech thee, thine eyes be open, and let thine ears be attendant to the prayer that is made in this place. And then in 2 Chronicles 7, 14 through 16, the Lord says, If my people, who are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, and will forgive their sins, and will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open, and my ears attendant unto the prayer that is made in this place. For now I have chosen and hallowed this house, that my name may be there forever, and my eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. And so Nehemiah gives us an example of a prayer that has all the reverence and all and faith and submission and confession and repentance that is in it, so that it would be a humble prayer acceptable to God. In faith, humility, reverence, awe, and repentance, he confessed the sins of the children of Israel and his own and the sins of his father's house. Now, in Nehemiah 1 in verse 7, we read, We have dealt very corruptly against thee, and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the ordinances which thou commandest thy servant Moses. In this verse, Nehemiah specifies the sins of which Israel was guilty. Some of these sins are given in Nehemiah 5, verses 1 through 13, Ezra 9, verses 1 through 4, and 2 Chronicles 36, 14 through 16. Let me read to you that from Nehemiah chapter 5. Beginning in verse 1, it says, "Then there arose a great cry of the people and of their wives against the brethren of the Jews. For there were that said, 'We, our sons and our daughters are many. Let us get grain whereby we may eat and live.' Some also there were that said, 'We are mortgaging our fields and our vineyards and our houses. Let us get grain because of the dearth.' And there were also that said, 'We have borrowed money for the king's tribute upon our fields and our vineyards. Yet now our flesh is as the flesh of our brethren, and our children as the children. And lo, we bring into bondage our sons and our daughters to be servants. And some of our daughters are brought into bondage already. Neither is it in our power to help it, for other men have our fields and our vineyards.' And I," this is Nehemiah, "I was very angry when I heard their cry and these words. Then I consulted with myself and contended with the nobles and the rulers and said unto them, 'Ye exact usury, every one of his brother.' And I held a great assembly against them. And I said unto them, 'After our ability have redeemed our brethren, the Jews that were sold into the nations, and ye would even sell your brethren, that and should they be sold unto us?' Then held they their peace and found never a word. And I said, 'The thing that ye do is not good. Ought ye not to walk in the fear of our God because of the reproach of the nations of our enemies? And I likewise, my brethren and my servants, do lend them money and grain, I pray you. Let us leave off this usury. Restore, I pray you, to them, even this day, their fields and their vineyards and their olive yards and their houses, and also the 100th part of the money of the grain, the new wine and the oil that ye extract of them.' Then said they, 'We will restore them, and will require nothing of them, and so will we do as thou sayest.' Then I called the priest and took an oath of them that they would do according to this promise. And I shook out my lap and said, 'So God shake out every man from this house and from his labor that performeth not this promise. Even thus be he shaken out and emptied.' And all the assembly said, 'Amen,' and praised Jehovah, and the people did according to this promise." Another place that the sins are mentioned, the sins of Israel at this time, is in Ezra chapter 9, verses 1 through 4. "And when these things were done, the princes drew near unto me, saying, 'The people of Israel and the priests and the Levites have not separated themselves from the peoples of the lands, doing according to their abominations, even of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, and the Ammonites, the Moabites, the Egyptians, and the Amorites. For they have taken of their daughters for themselves and for their sons, so that the holy seed have mingled themselves with the people of the lands. Yea, the hand of the princes and the rulers hath been chief in this trespass. And when I heard this thing, I rent my garment and my robe, and plucked off the hair of my head and of my beard, and sat down confounded. Then were assembled unto me every one that trembled at the words of the God of Israel, because of the trespass of them of the captivity. And I sat confounded unto the evening oblation." There's those sins of Israel in 2 Chronicles 39. Let me turn over to there. 2 Chronicles. You know, I'm not going to be able to read this. This is 2 Chronicles 39, or 2 Chronicles chapter 36, 14 through 16. I'll read this in the next class. You remind me of that when we get started, because we are out of time. And so you be listening for that school bell, and we'll continue this Old Testament study from Elam's Notes.